And of course, the fact is that Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." One of the indescribable spiritual blessings that you and I have as children of God is to pray to the Father. And Paul said in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Paul commands us to pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. In an article entitled "Prayer, Golden Link with God," Brother Earl West says that every person encounters situations in which the task is greater than his ability to perform the task. Now, prayer is not a harsh duty, but it is a joyful privilege. Brother J.K. Wallace says prayer brings us into communion with God. Now, it's amazing when we can know that God hears our prayers and will answer our prayers according to His will, if we will pray. Brother L.R. Wilson said, "Man needs to pray." And we should be earnest about desiring to know how to pray, Brother Whitaker wrote. Brother E.G. Sewell said that when Christ spake a parable to the end that they ought to pray, He was talking to all of us. We ought to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. And so our Lord has placed us under many obligations that enable us to be His children. And we should be desirous to pray, and knowing that in Him we live and move and have our very being. Acts 17. And so faithful Christians are prayerful, Brother H. Leo Bowles says. No one can be a faithful Christian without praying. Well, the Lord gives us two choices: either pray and not faint, or not pray and faint. Brother J. Roy Vaughan said that men of the Bible were praying men. They believed that God exists, and that He's able to hear and answer the prayers that we deliver to Him. He wants us to talk to Him about our tribulations and about our heartaches. I'm a father. We have two children and four grandchildren, and it is kind of special when our children come to us and lay out their problems and their difficulties and their needs. God the Father is the one to whom we address our prayers. Christ pointed out, "You pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In 2 Corinthians 13:7, Paul said, "Now we pray to God that ye do not know evil." Christ said, "Whatsoever ye ask in my name, the Lord will give it to you." Christians are priests. Every Christian is a priest. That means that every Christian can approach the throne of God directly through Jesus Christ, our high priest and our mediator. Brother Leslie G. Thomas spoke of prayer as the direct and personal approach to God. It is a communion with God. Prayer is the natural expression of the Christian. Brother Whitaker says it is our nearest approach to God. It is the soul and strength of the church. Now, in the few minutes remaining, we shall notice a number of things. Number one, Old Testament, New Testament examples of prayer. How should Christians pray? For what should Christians pray? Does God answer a sinner's prayer? Does God answer the prayers of His children? Must God perform a miracle today, miracles in order to answer prayer? Old Testament examples. We remember the record of Genesis 3 and following. Adam and Eve in the garden sinned. Chapter 4, we find that Cain killed Abel. Then Seth was born. Then he had a son, Enosh. Then began man to call upon the name of Jehovah. Genesis 4:26. One of Seth's ancestors was Enoch, who walked with God and no doubt talked with God regularly. God took him. 5:24. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5. No doubt he talked regularly with God. The patriarch Job endured tremendous indescribable pain and suffering. He constantly called upon the God for mercy and understanding. It is very interesting that his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, did not call upon God as did Job throughout the three cycles of speeches. Abraham was called by God, Abraham, my friend. He was a man of prayer. He built many altars. You could follow Abraham's path by following his altars. Genesis 12:8 says that he called upon the name of Jehovah. He also showed a desire to help others, and he was cognizant of the needs of the souls of men. He petitioned God on behalf of Sodom and the righteous there, but not enough could be found who were righteous to spare the city. Jacob wrestled with a man until the breaking of day. This was the angel of the Lord. He was persistent. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The Bible says that he had striven with God and prevailed. Genesis 32:24-30. Moses prayed to God when the back of the people was to the Egyptian army and before them was the Red Sea. God said, you tell the people to march forward. God had already worked it out, and they simply were to take the steps in obedience to God to go through this sea on dry land. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Frank Cox, Brother Cox, says it was written near the close of the period of the wanderings in the Arabian desert. Moses had no fixed dwelling place for 50 years, and yet he praised God for having been his dwelling place in all the generations. And so God understands, and he heard the prayer of Moses. In fact, Moses and God spake mouth to mouth with each other. And Moses and Aaron and Miriam questioned the authority of Moses. Moses, of course, prayed to God that Miriam might be healed of her leprosy. But God does not do away with his will or forget his will when he answers prayer. God had a law regarding leprosy, and Mary had to carry it out. Jabez is described in a few words in 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. He was more honorable than his brethren. Why? And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. And God granted him what he requested. Brother Frank L. Cox pointed out that Jabez's life was characterized by prayer, even in the midst of sorrow. He properly directed that prayer. His prayer was earnest. It was humble. He needed God, and God answered the prayer. Joshua, when there was the matter of the conquest of Canaan and the battle with the five kings, prayed to God and prayed for deliverance. And God caused the sun to remain in the valley of Ajalon long enough for the people of God to defeat their enemies. Joshua 1:1-16. Samuel was a great judge in Israel. They were in danger at that time from the Philistines. Samuel the prophet urged them to do away with their wickedness, confess their sins, and I will pray to you, to the Jehovah for you, that God will deliver us. And God thundered with a great thunder upon the Philistines, and he overcame them. 1 Samuel 7:3-14. David was a man after God's own heart. But Brother S.P. Pittman wrote that David sinned in spite of his desire to do the will of God. He sinned egregiously. God chastised him. When he fell, he quickly arose. And as a result of that, we have the great penitential Psalms of David, Psalm 51 and others. David had a dream of building the temple, and he prayed to God that he might do so. God said, no, your seed is going to build the temple. Well, was David jealous over that? Did he resent that? Was it hard to him to play second fiddle regarding the building of the temple? No. In fact, he prayed for his son that he might remain true to God and that he might be blessed in building the temple. And David helped to collect a lot of the goods whereby the temple would be built. Hezekiah was a man sick, nigh unto death. He turned toward the wall. He threw himself upon the mercy of God. He wept sore. He pleaded that he might not die. The Lord added 15 years to his life. Earlier he had prayed to God during the time that Sennacherib had threatened the city in Rabshakeh. He laid out the letter before God and he pleaded with his help. He spread it before Jehovah, and the Bible says that when the morning came, 185,000 choice soldiers of Sennacherib woke up dead. Brother Wendell Winkler said we ought to cultivate the practice of taking matters small or great and spreading them out before the Lord in prayer. Jeremiah, who was the Paul of the Old Testament, shed a fountain of tears because of his wicked people, because they had forsaken Jehovah. And so the people, his own people, devised devices against Jeremiah. They smote him with the tongue. They smote him grievously, mistreated and smitten and placed in stocks. But he could not refrain from speaking the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 20, verse 2 and 7 through 11. Daniel was a man of great and persistent prayer and regular prayer. His life was in imminent danger because Nebuchadnezzar determined to kill all of the wise men because they could not interpret a dream that he dreamed. That is, give it and give the interpretation. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah prayed all night because their lives were in danger. And the Lord gave Daniel the dream and the interpretation. In chapter 6, we find that Darius had made an unalterable decree that any person who bowed before any god or man for 30 days, save of Darius, would be thrown into the den of lions. David went, as he normally did, to his room, faced toward Jerusalem, and prayed, as the habit was, three times a day. And of course, he was thrown into the lion's den. But the lions did not devour him because of his righteousness and because of his prayers. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were challenged, like others, to bow down and honor this huge statue of 90 feet high, tall in the plains of Dura. They refused to do so. Nebuchadnezzar learned that, called them in, and said, we're going to play the music again. Bow down. They said, O king, we don't have to tell you and remind you that we're not going to bow down before that idol. So they were thrown into the lion's den, or the furnace, seven times hotter than it was in the habit of being heated. The fire was so hot that it swept out and devoured those who threw these three men of God in. But there were four walking around in there. The Lord spared them. New Testament. I wish we had time to go thoroughly into this. Our Lord is a tremendous example of prayer. Brother Wallace said that he prayed when he was baptized. And he prayed when he entered his ministry. He prayed when he closed his ministry. He prayed at the Mount of Transfiguration. He prayed at the hour of deepest sorrow. When he selected his apostles, he prayed for them. When he was rejected and crucified, he was praying as he was crucified. He prayed before Peter confessed him and when Peter denied him. He tells us, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I wish we had time to talk about the two prayers of the Pharisee and the publican. The apostles were men of prayer. When Peter and John were threatened of the Sanhedrin, they went to the apostolic company. They lifted up their voices in prayer that the Lord might help them speak with all boldness. Acts 14:18-31. The Lord's church continued regularly, steadfastly in the prayers. They prayed for one another. They prayed for Peter that he might be released, and he was. That is, God got him out, the angel of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. In fact, he prayed to the Lord that he might even be able to be lost if it would save his own people. Of course, the tense of the verb there in the Greek indicates that that would be impossible. So he had to abandon that idea. But he prayed for his people. He prayed that other people pray for him. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. How should we pray? Well, we should pray. We should learn to pray. And the Lord prayed, and the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And how wonderful it would be to be of such people of prayer that our children say, Dad, teach me to pray. Teach me how to pray. And I know that that's the way it is in your home. In addition to that, we are to pray for the brethren. Romans 15:30-32. We're to pray for rulers and kings and those in high places. 1 Timothy 2. Our prayers are to be accompanied with the strong determination to overcome sin. Husbands and wives are to give themselves unto prayer that Satan tempt them not. God, Christ is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. But we must pray. He promised the brethren in Philadelphia, I will also keep thee from the hour of trial. Revelation 3:10. They might undergo physical persecution, but of course he would watch after their souls. We are to pray with prayers accompanied by faith, the ability to see the unseen. Hebrews 11:1. To see God sitting on his throne, Christ our mediator, at his right hand. Paul said, I desire that the men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. A person who doubts is unstable spiritually, and he or she will not pray as the Lord commands. Our prayers are to be accompanied by the desire, not my will, but thine be done. James 4:13-15, we're to pray, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In addition, we are to seek the good of others rather than being characterized by vindictiveness. We should seek to restore the erring. Galatians 6:1-2. We should seek to save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins, James 5:19-20. We're to be characterized by the spirit of forgiveness. Otherwise, our prayers will not be heard. Christ said clearly, if we will not forgive men their trespasses, we will not be forgiven by God. In addition, Paul says, avenge not yourselves, vengeance is mine, Romans 12:19-21. Inasmuch as it is possible, live in peace with all men, Romans 12:18. Our spirit should be the spirit of Abraham toward Lot. We be brethren. And brethren, meanness is not soundness. It is also interesting that an elder is not to be self-willed. Well, any Christian is not to be self-willed. We're not to mistreat anyone. Job said, If I mistreated my servants, then I deserve what I have gotten. Even Michael the archangel refused to rail even at Satan, Jude 8:9. In addition to that, our prayers are to be accompanied by work. In other words, we are to pray for health and obey the laws of good health. Pray for spiritual growth and study God's word. Pray for forgiveness and forgive those who sin against us. Pray for the sick. Help them meet their health needs. Pray for the lost and teach them the gospel of Christ. Pray for unity and peace among the brethren and manifest the attitude of compassion and love and forbearance. Pray for the church and back its worship services and attend the services. Pray for forgiveness of sins and obey what the Bible says we're to do to be forgiven. Pray for a good marriage and treat our spouses right. Pray for our children and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Pray to be saved in heaven at last and live a life of righteousness. And pray for our daily bread and work with our hands. For what should the Christian pray? Brother Walter Johnson wrote that the Christian should pray for pardon. He should pray for the salvation of sinners. Pray for temporal blessings. Pray for the saints. Pray for gospel support. Pray for preachers and other laborers. Pray for civil rulers and so on. Our growth will depend upon how much we pray and how persistent we are in those prayers. Does God answer the prayer of an alien sinner? John Allen Hudson said that God placed restrictions on prayer, such as when a person prays seeking the praise of men, he will not be heard. Proverbs 28:9, when a person turns away his ear from hearing the law, he will not be heard. In Micah 3:4, we find that God will refuse us as we have refused to do right. Brother Elam answered this question that God does not hear the rebellious against him. But if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. John 9:31. Brother Perry Cotham says that we need to realize that we are not to pray as aliens for forgiveness of sins. Prayer is not a part of the Great Commission, he said. The apostles did not command sinners to pray for pardon. Prayer cannot be substituted for obedience. Brother Fred Dennis pointed out some things for which the alien sinner must not pray. He is not to pray for light. He must not pray for grace or faith or religion or pure heart or converting power, or God's willingness to save, or God's love, or His reconciliation. All of these things are offered through the light of the gospel of Christ and are accessed through obedience of that gospel, he says. Brother Pigler said, correctly, nowhere is it recorded that any man ever received remission of sins through prayer. Brother Batzel Baxter wrote that the mourner's bench and praying for pardon is a pernicious doctrine, hinders obedience, belittles obedience, and causes the alien sinner to reject baptism. He also pointed out that Saul of Tarsus, Lydia, and Cornelius were all outside the kingdom of God. In each case, God's preacher found them praying, and the preacher did not say, "Pray on." He told them to be baptized, end quote. The question may be asked, did God hear Cornelius' prayer? Brother Gus Nichols wrote, "God did hear Cornelius' prayer. When the angel appeared to him, he said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God.'" Acts 10:31. This was 4 days, he said, before Peter came, preached the gospel to him, and commanded him to be baptized. Brother Nichols made it clear that Cornelius had not been saved when the angel told him that his prayer had been heard. He was not saved without the gospel, Brother Nichols said. His prayer was also heard 4 days before he had proper faith in Christ, that he had to repent in order to be saved. Acts 17:11-18, we find that the apostles rejoiced that God had granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. But they had to hear about that repentance. And in addition to that, they had to be baptized in order to be saved. Brother Nichols pointed out that the opportunity came about in which the gospel was preached to him so that he could be saved. He also pointed out, and I quote, "We do not need an angel to come and tell us where to find the gospel. We can send for a gospel preacher without the direct authority of an angel of God." He also said, "Neither does a gospel preacher now need to see a vision. There's no need today for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bear witness that there is no difference between the Jews and Gentiles." He pointed out that there is one baptism. He also pointed out that Cornelius was not in willful rebellion against God at that time, nor did he pray for something that was contrary to God's revealed will and the conditions of salvation. No doubt his prayer was also a memorial before God that God would receive the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Brother L.O. Sanderson pointed out that Saul was praying in Damascus. God told Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." Acts 9:11. Did God know he was praying? Yes. I have an idea the brethren were very happy, Ananias, to know that Saul of Tarsus, a great murderer, was now praying. Ananias went to him and told him what to do to be saved. Brother Sanderson said he was not saved by praying. He had to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Does God answer the prayers of his children? Indeed. You'll have to read the book on this. Brother E. Jusel said, "God does not mock men. He does not require men to do things just because he has the power and authority over men to command them. He has an eye to man's good in all he has commanded. Every requirement in Christianity is for man's good." Brother Lester G. Thomas wrote, "There is nothing more plainly taught in the Bible than that God will answer prayer." Brother Guy and Wood says, "Surely every faithful disciple today can emphasize with the embattled psalmist when he said in Psalm 12, verse 1, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, 'Help, Jehovah, help.'" And I've prayed that, and you have too. Must God perform miracles in order to answer prayers? In the Old Testament and in the New Testament times, sometime God would perform miracles. He doesn't perform miracles today. But he still answers prayers. Brother J. Roy Vaughn, in answering this question, went to James 5:16-18. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is the example? Elijah. He prayed that it not rain, and it didn't rain 3.5 years. Then he prayed again that it rained, and it rained. The result of those prayers, the results were not accomplished by a miracle. The rain, God simply must have taken direct control of the natural law and sent those prevailing currents a different way. When the rain came, it didn't come from over the desert and go west. It came from the Mediterranean Sea as it always came. But God worked through natural law. The prayers of the women, when Paul met them by the river, they were engaging in the washings. God's providence enabled them to be there and to teach those women. Providence enabled Philip to teach the eunuch, and he was there. But the eunuch still had to obey the gospel of Christ. God works today through general providence upon all people. But he works through special providence upon his own people. And special providence, providence, God provides, is not miraculous. We provide for our children. We don't perform miracles. Brother Temple wrote, "The universe does indeed function on its own to a great extent through dependable natural laws. In fact, if he did not so operate, we could not predict weather or build airplanes. But God can and does intervene in a providential way to answer our prayers and benefit our lives. We define providence as God's non-miraculous manipulation of natural law and circumstances to accomplish his purposes. This should not be thought strange, because God himself manipulates natural forces for his own uses. Like man, man takes natural materials, dirt, ore, wood, and so forth, and constructs airplanes, radios, and other devices. And in all of these operations, the materials themselves obey natural law at all times. If a man can use nature to accomplish his purposes, then so can God, and to a greater degree." You're a fine audience. Thank you very much.